The place is your hoe. Welcome to Hoe Ventures, a podcast about the riveting tales of professional daters. Here is your host, Chantel Etoile.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 11 of Hoe Ventures. Today I have a very special question and answer episode. I asked the vanilla audience if they had any questions for us professional daters, and I got back a good amount of questions, so I'm going to answer those for you today. But first, if you would like to support and continue this show, you can buy me a cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/hoeventures. That supports the show and keeps the show running because I pay for the show out of my pocket each month so that all the professional daters have a platform to share their adventures and their stories. So we will jump right into it. The first question I have, I think I get this question a lot. I'm sure many of the professional daters do. And I just want to say that me answering these questions are from my own knowledge, my own personal experience. I don't necessarily speak for everyone, and except for like maybe a certain time, you know, we don't want time wasters, right? I can speak for everyone for that. But otherwise, I speak for myself and my personal experiences. And if you have a question for your professional dater that you're seeing or that you'd like to see, you can reach out and ask them. So first question, why did you decide to become a professional dater? You know, I tell people all the time, this is like a two-part answer here. One, I got tired of being in the corporate world. I came from the accounting background, and they drove me crazy. Literally, the bullying, just the constant harassment, and it wasn't even from men. It was from the women that were constantly harassing me, you know, just nitpicking at every single thing that I do. And it just drove me crazy. They say they want creative people. They don't really want creative people. So I needed to do something outside of the corporate world, and I decided to leave accounting, and I was like, oh, I guess I will become a professional dater. It was something that I'm good at. I also got tired of spending all of my time and effort dating for free. I realized at some point that, you know, there's a subset of men out there that whether they just got out of a long-term relationship or they're focusing on their career, something about them, they don't want to date at that moment, and they sought out somebody like me where it's like, oh, you know, she's a fun time. She can fill in the gap while I work on myself or whatever aspirations they had at the time. And it's like, you know, that's great and all, but why am I doing this for free? I can charge people for this. So I decided to become a professional dater. So if you are out there in a transition in your life, whatever the transition may be, hire a professional dater. Stop wasting women's time. It's not fair to people out there. Feelings are real things. And, you know, even if you tell someone, oh, don't catch feelings because I'm just in it for a good time, not a long time, that's a really shitty attitude to have when you know that feelings could potentially happen. So hire a professional, and then you don't have to worry about those feelings, right? That's what I say. So that was a great question. Thank you for asking that. Second question. So this is like a three-part question. I will do my best to answer it. Do most clients want a date to talk or for company or just to get it on? That's an interesting question. So in my personal experience, I find that most clients think that they just want to get it on. Now, are there, you know, clients out there that probably watch way too much porn and, you know, they just want to try out their porn fantasies on professionals? Absolutely. But I tend to see a lot of my personal clients, they think that they want to book a date just to get it on. And then they realize that they enjoy talking to me and that they really enjoy the companionship side. And that's how dates progress until, you know, repeat bookings and longer dates in the future. So a lot of people just don't know what they want. And I feel part of my job as a professional dater, it's kind of to help them, to help bridge that gap and kind of show them what they may want or might be missing out on. And how does that make the professional dater feel? I think it's different for everyone. Me personally, I do not enjoy dates where they just want to get it on. It's not my style. It's not who I am. It's not for me. I connect with people on a physical level after I connect with them on a mental and emotional level. So for me to just, you know, walk in, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, that's not for me personally. I do know that there are professional daters out there where longer dates are not for them. They get anxiety for whatever reason, going on dinner dates or having longer dates. They don't really want to carry on the conversation for that long. And they do prefer the shorter dates that are just kind of, you know, let's get it on. They love that physical aspect where they walk in and, you know, they're just physically, they're just like ready to go. And that's okay as well. Everybody is different. Every dater is different. So you need to find the dater that works for you, that works for your personality. I find that it's not a good idea to think that, oh, I'm just going to, it's a one size fits all. I'm going to hire this person and they're going to do exactly what I want them to do. That's probably not going to work out. The dater's not going to have a good time. You're not going to have a good time. And it's really a waste in your investment. So it's best to just try to seek out somebody that matches what you're looking for, which can be hard at times. Totally understand that. But it's best to, you know, read their website. That's where you're going to find out if you really connect. Read the website. Go look at their social media. Read their tweets. Look at their Instagram or whatever platform they have. Do research. And then you won't have to worry about wasting your money and not getting what you were hoping to get out of the date. And the last is there a preference? Yeah, there is a preference. I have a preference. Other people have preferences. I think if someone said that they don't have a preference, it might be true. But in my personal experience, most of us have a preference in what we're looking for. My preference is to date with an emotional connection or mental connection and not just physical. I get bored really easily. So the physical aspect of it, it's not going to keep my attention very long, especially if you're booking a multi-hour date. If you're thinking that you're going to book me for like 3 or 4 hours and it's going to be all physical, I'm going to get bored really easily and you're probably not going to be happy. If you're just only looking for physical, book a shorter date or probably don't book me at all. Sorry, that's just the truth. You don't want to waste your money on me if that's all you're looking for, because I want to have conversation. I'm going to get very bored if you're just looking for just physical and I guess some sort of actress mode. I'm not very good at acting. I've always wanted to be a D-list actress, so that should tell you like my level of acting. It's not very good. Okay, so question three. Oh gosh, this question. Do clients ever try to negotiate price? Yes, they do all the time. I don't get it as much as I did when I was first in the world, when I was new. Now, I mean, do people come ever so often? Hey, I see your package is this, you know, I only have this much money. Yeah, they do. And the only thing I can tell you, I can say universally, I can speak for everyone. Nobody likes negotiating their price. We have a price for a certain reason. It's like we figure out our price on one, how much we want to work or how much time we have to work. and how much do we have to work to cover our basic necessities in life? And nobody wants to do this job just to cover their basic needs, right? So you add a little bit of cushion so that you can afford a little bit of luxuries. You know, we need to have self-care and everything else. So there's a lot that goes into our pricing. And to negotiate our pricing is, it's so just, it's rude. It's degrading. And it doesn't make you look good. And people think that, you know, the clients that have the most money or like, you know, oh, they're investment bankers and all this stuff. They're going to be the better clients. Typically, they're the ones that try to negotiate the rates because they come from a business world where in business you do negotiate. But in this business, you do not negotiate. You will end up on a very bad no-no list where you are going to be a client that nobody wants to see if it gets around that you negotiate the rates. It's ridiculous. Just don't do it. Question four. What happens if you catch unexpected feelings for a client? Well, that hasn't happened to me. However, I think that's a question that's going to be based on, you know, every individual. Everyone would handle it differently. I've heard instances where a client caught feelings and the professional dater did not have those mutual feelings. So they had to part ways because the more the client got feelings, the worse the dynamic became. So they had to part ways. I've heard of people parting ways to protect the feelings. Like they realized they were catching feelings. So the client moved on to start dating someone else because they couldn't handle the feelings they had. I've also seen instances where the parties caught feelings and then they kept seeing each other, but they respected each other's boundaries. So they continued dating. They may have transitioned into an arrangement, which is totally acceptable. And if you don't know what an arrangement is, it's when you set like a monthly amount. Let's just throw out a number. Let's just say $5,000 a month. And you guys agree to see each other a certain amount of times each month instead of paying per date. I've seen that happen where you transition into an arrangement. And then, you know, you hear what I think everybody thinks is a fairy tale of you caught feelings with each other and, you know, you ended up getting married or whatever. Have those things happen? Absolutely. It's up to each individual. I think the best part or the best advice I can give for that to anyone wondering is just communication. You communicate those feelings so that one party isn't feeling like their needs or their emotional needs aren't being met. You communicate that so that you two both can have your boundaries and decide what is the best way to move forward with having these feelings on the line. And I'm assuming by feelings, you're meaning like you're falling in love with each other or one party is falling in love. So that's the best way that I can answer that for myself is I would just have a communication with my client on where do they see this going with these feelings. Number five, are there any safety tips other than screening? Yeah, the number one safety tip, like, so once you screen and, you know, maybe you get references or you get your real world information or both. I prefer both. I always get real world information. And then if somebody has references from people that I personally know and have met and I know their screening protocol and how they, you know, how they are on dates, then that's even better. But outside of that, you just never know. You could have a client that is perfect with one dater and then completely flip the script on somebody else. I always say go with your gut. There is nothing more of a screening and safety tool than your raw gut instinct. And I can tell you from personal experience, not even related to the professional dating world, just in my personal life where I have had things happen to me, attempted kidnappings when I was abroad, story for another day. But outside of this world, the best thing that I have for myself is my gut instinct to tell me when I might be feeling unsafe or I might be in danger. That will never steer you wrong. And I don't like that society tends to tell women that we're exaggerating or we're being ridiculous or to ignore your feelings because of X, Y, and Z, you know. Oh, you know, that's not real. You're not in real danger. You're just being dramatic. I used to hear that stuff all the time. And who gives a shit? Don't listen to them. Do not listen to that. If your gut tells you that something is not right, it is okay to remove yourself from that situation. Plain and simple. In the professional dating world, what that might look like is different for everyone. You might end the date early. You might give them a refund and say, hey, you know, I'm not feeling this. Let me give you your money back and we'll go our separate ways. Or, you know, you may not, if you've gotten to a point in the date where it's like, hey, I'm going to keep my money, but I'm not feeling this. Absolutely. That is okay. Because if somebody is doing something to make you feel unsafe, then you have every right to put your safety first. That is the best safety tip that I can give anybody out there, professional dater or otherwise. Listen to your gut. It will never steer you wrong because I know for a fact that mine has not. I'm alive today because I listen to my gut. And for the last question, filing for taxes. You know, we get this question so much, especially when it comes to the debate of should we legalize the sex work, escort, prostitution, whatever name out there that the vanilla world wants to call it. Should we legalize it? Everyone goes, oh, we should legalize it and tax it and you know, force mandatory health checks and blah, blah, blah. I can tell you that no, we don't want legalization. We want decriminalization because legalization just has a whole nother hurdle. But as far as filing taxes, you file taxes just like any other self-employed person does. The IRS really does not give a shit what you do. They just want their cut. That's it. So we file taxes, we pay our taxes because we still need to make purchases. We need to buy homes, we need to have investment properties, to buy cars, to buy whatever we need. Even as far as you know, if you want a loan or to get healthcare, anything where your income is going to be questioned, you'd want to have that tax return to show proof of income. So absolutely, we file taxes, we pay for taxes. And if you have questions, I have an accounting background, but I don't like to give tax advice because, one, nobody listens to me and they think that I'm bullshitting when I say that I have an accounting background. I do have a bachelor's degree in economics. I have a bachelor's degree in accounting with a minor in economics. And I started on my graduate degree before I decided I no longer wanted to pursue a career in accounting. So I walked away. And people still question my credibility. So I don't answer tax questions. But on my former show, The Sexy Escort Guide, we did interview a professional who, a professional tax accountant from Companion Tax. And she answered all the questions that you may have. So if you want to go listen to that episode, I don't remember which episode it was, but you can go to TSEG And you can find that episode if you have more questions about taxes and filing taxes as a professional companion. So that was part one of answering of the Vanellas asking me questions and me answering it. And so thank you so much for these questions. If you have any further questions, you can email me at adventures@hoventures.com. You can reach out to me on Twitter at @hoventures, Instagram at @hoventurespodcast. Or if you know me personally, you can send me questions via text. And no, I'm not giving out my number. So thank you so much for participating in this, in part one of this question and answer episode. I am Chantal Etoile. Thank you so much. And happy hoeing. As always, keep it sexy. Thanks for listening. Please leave a 5-star rating on iTunes or any of your listening platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the show on Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at @hoventures and on Instagram at @hoventurespodcast. As always, keep it sexy.